Yes, we're here to worship amazing God. Wow. I love that word, amazing. My understanding is from my meteorologist that there's every 50 state in the United States has snow in it, which is unprecedented. And I think I saw a lot of that last weekend as I flew to Wichita. I had a window seat in the plane. And as I looked out the window and thought about all the snow that I saw and the fact that each flake is different, I started to tear up. Wow, who can do that? Anyway, yeah. So thank you for all that helped Chuck set up this morning, Mike and Scott, and you know who you are. It's great to come here and find things in place and set up for us to worship together. One of my projects for 2025 is to memorize scripture. And one of the ways I'm going to do that is just pull out from long ago some memories that I have of scripture that I learned. Of course, the easiest one for me is that Jesus wept. We're going to get beyond that after a while. This morning I'm going to use a verse that is very dear to me that I'm because of the way the words in it, I must have learned it a long time ago. It's from Proverbs 23, verse 7. As a man thinketh, he is. No question. That's from King James Version, Glenn. I looked it up in the message, and it's a whole paragraph. I can't memorize that much, so I'm going to go with the King James. As a man thinketh, he is. So my sharing this morning, Scott wants us to and Mike want us to share from the heart, and this is very dear to me. It's very at home. You know, did you ever preach to yourself? This is happening this morning. So some of the examples I'm going to give isn't because I thought of Chuck and his life. It isn't because of something that Dave does. It's probably something that I'm involved with. So that's a scripture for the morning. I will refer to some scriptures in Numbers later on. As a man thinketh, he is. As a man thinketh, he is. Have you ever driven to work, and after you've arrived, you wondered which way you came? Can you remember that you stopped at the stop sign that's en route? I mean, I go through the four-way stop in Pennern several times a day. And when I get to my destination, I think, did I stop at the stop sign? Like, this is very simple. Let me console you this morning. It's probably not a form of dementia. Although it could be. It's probably not a form of dementia. We all likely have done this. The reason is simple, I think, because we're stuck in a rut. Really. We're stuck in a rut. There's some things that you and I do every day that just happen automatically. No. We do something over and over. Some of the tasks that we do every day just kind of get put on autopilot. I don't know what that is, Dave, but I like it. I like the expression. So if you're in a rut, you're probably going to have a similar year in 25 that you had in 24. If you're in a rut, one of the questions that often is asked at the elders' meeting, why do we do the same things over and over, year after year, and expect different results? That's a good question. Why are we doing things, the same things, over and over, and expect different results? What are the parts of 2024 that you don't want to replay? I've got a drawer that has all my sermons in. I don't know why I started this, but one of the questions that Mike, and I write notes, one of the questions that Mike asked in his sermon back in 2010 was, what in your life needs to be changed? I'm not going to point my finger this morning. I'm going to try to help you to discover what rut you're in, and that you're in is a bad rut. What in your life needs to be changed? May I suggest to you that we do some rut busting? That's a new word. We need to get out of the rut. Part of my time in serving the U.S. government was to serve as a volunteer, a conscientious objector in library in New Mexico. New Mexico has very few paved roads. When you get off of, in my case, the Route 550, you're in the mud. And if you don't choose the right rut when you get off of the highway, you're in trouble. You aren't going to get to your destination. It's you know, it's very simple, but it's very profound. You need to choose the right rut. I think, may I suggest that in our lives, we need to watch the rut that we're getting into. There's a motivational speaker, I think he called, I remember this because his name's so different, is called Zig Ziglar. He says that it's stinking thinking that produces lousy results. Stinking thinking. I'm going to give you some examples of what I think might be stinking thinking. Well, Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks, so he is. Where the mind goes, the man or woman follows. Everything we do in life gives us experience for the next thing, so we need some very thoughtful thinking in our minds, very thoughtful planning. Thinking correctly seems to be a battle. It seems like our minds are a battlefield. In most instances, we are either the victims of what we decide or we're the victors. I had a Mennonite man that hauled my hogs for a lot of years off the farm to the slaughterhouse. He was a Mennonite, and he would say when the pigs wouldn't go up in the truck, which is very common for a pig not to do, go where you want it to go, he would say, this animal needs an attitude adjustment. May I suggest that, I'm not talking to pigs, but may I suggest that maybe there's an attitude adjustment that needs to happen in some of our activities. And some of those might be, we need to maintain the right attitude when things are going really rough for us. That's a very difficult attitude to do. It could be that we need to realize that rough times won't last forever. We need to not make major decisions during a storm in our lives. And we need to, lastly, and there's more of these, lastly, we need to stay in touch with the control tower. We need to stay in touch with the control. When we landed in Chicago last weekend, I looked back and there were three other planes in the sky heading to the same runway that we were. Like, wow, you guys are all going to land here? The third one, it was so far off I couldn't see them, but I knew there was an airplane, and we were all in a straight line, and this one was this high, this one, I hope that we don't get a flat tire when we land, or this is going to mess things up. Anyway, you need to stay in touch with the control tower. David Jeremiah said a few months, he's one of my favorite TV preachers. He said a few months ago, as long as we blame someone else for our shortcomings, we'll never get healed. I thought, wow, as long as we blame somebody else for our shortcomings, we'll never get healed. So behind everything that you do, there's a thought. As a man thinketh, so is he. So the way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel determines the way you act. So we need to program our minds each day with God's word. I think if we do that, let me challenge you to do that this next week. When you come into the circumstances that's very difficult for you, Think about what God's word, how God's word would lead you through that, and expect a 180 out of that circumstance compared to what you had experienced in 24. Expect a 180, a total change. I used to ask when I was a kid, I'd walk up to somebody and say, "Dave, a penny for your thoughts," which really isn't a fair question, because what's the guy thinking when you, I mean, you're thinking ahead, but when you spring out on somebody, what do you expect of them? So I'm saying that because I think we need to think about what we think about. Think about what you think about. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, "God sets before us life and death, blessings and curses." So I think you can choose, in a sense, you can choose your own thoughts. Romans 12:21, "Overcome evil with good." We can make ourselves happy or sad by what we choose to think. We can be deliberate about what goes on in our minds. I think we can practice purposeful thinking. Some of the ways that the Bible, I think, helps us with this is Colossians 3:2, set your mind, think about things above. If you're wherever involved in pouring concrete, you know what the concrete is set. What does that mean, Chuck? It's set. Yeah, it's hard. It's, you ain't changing it. It's hard. So when the Bible says set your mind, I think it's suggesting that don't be easily changed. To set our minds means to be firm in our decision and to agree with God's way of living. I remember sitting around the family table when I was preteen, and my dad would ask, there was six of us children, "What are you guys going to do when somebody offers you a cigarette?" Which, I don't know why Dad would ask that, but it was a smart question. And at that point, those of us that could make choices set our minds. We set our minds. It's because we knew that that could happen in our lives, and we preset the answer. "I'm not going to be a part of that. I've never smoked." I think it's because I set my mind when I was 11. We need to set our minds. Romans 12:2, renew your mind. Satan might fill our minds with criticism and prejudice because that's his favorite thing to do. Renewing your minds is not like renewing your driver's license. Renewing your mind takes a lot of energy and a lot of time. Some of the choices that we need to make, we need to rethink over and over and over again. 1 Peter 1:13 says, gird up the loins of your mind, which is interesting words. Get your minds off of things that would cause you to stumble. The men in the East wore long robes, my understanding is, and the scripture would have them tuck them in so that they aren't in their way when they walk. Don't have things in your life or in your mind that would cause you to stumble. Any habit that is repeatedly practiced, whether wholesome or harmful, will come to feel natural for those practicing that habit. Any attempt to lay aside the habitual practices will seem unnatural. Like I have a few friends that have gotten out of their lifetime habit of smoking, and to not smoke is very difficult for them. Well, some of the ruts I think that we might be in, some of the ruts that I'm in, these are very probably very mundane to you, but ruts that I think that I don't want to be in. Very simple. I'm one that waits to fill my pickup gas tank with gas until the light goes on? Are you the person that fills your tank when it's half empty? Now, I've gotten by with waiting until the light comes on, pretty much, but there can be consequences to that. You fill in this this rut that you're in. I think there can be the rut of interrupting other people's speaking. Wow. I know I've got some friends that are very good at that. There's the rut of not turning off the lights when you leave that room in the house. I think there can be a rut. There's a rut of leaving a mess for others to clean up. There's the rut of always being late. You know anybody that's always late? Like, oh, the traffic was so heavy, I couldn't get here in time. Yeah, right. We can give excuses. I followed a guy that drove 10 miles under the speed limit. I mean, what do you expect? I can't be here in time. There's the rut of seldom finishing a project. Wow. Our bad habits, our bad ruts need to be replaced with good ruts. What good habits do you need to develop? If you need a new habit, try it for some Zig Ziglar, Zero would say, try it for 30 days and you'll probably be hooked. Teach your mind to work for you. Positive thinking often results in positive results. This is it's so simple, but doing it is probably different. I'm taking this from Numbers chapter 13, and there's two or three chapters in Numbers that deal with this, and I think it's a story that we're all familiar with. God promised the people of Israel they would possess a rich and fertile country known as Canaan. We know this Bible story from Numbers. So the Israelites appointed, I think it was 12, I'll call them scouts, spies, to check out the land, see what it was like. Upon return, the 10 spies said that the land is flowing with milk and honey. The fruit was large. You remember it took two guys to carry. I like grapes like that. But the land was full of giants. So the 10 said. But two of the 12 returned with a different report. Now, this is amazing. I think these 12 people all saw the same thing. They went through the Negev, they went through the hill country, whatever the scripture tells us in Numbers. They probably all said the same thing. But the two that returned that were positive they were full of faith and they were full of the confidence in God. And it's interesting, they saw different things. Remember, as a man thinketh, so is he. So the 10 spies saw obstacles. Joshua and Caleb saw answers, the same thing that they saw. The 10 spies saw giants that were way too big to kill. Joshua and Caleb saw giants that you couldn't miss. Like, wow. The 10 spies were living by sight, and the 2 spies were living by faith. The 10 spies were focusing on what could not be accomplished, like there were so many enemies. The 2 spies were impressed with the size of God. Yeah, they saw the same thing. My take from this story in Numbers is, don't be too quick to reject the advice that you don't like. Evaluate carefully. Weigh it against the teaching in God's word. Negative attitudes produce negative responses. Positive attitudes, usually positive responses. Again, going back to Numbers. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1 says, after 10 spies gave their negative report, the Israelites wept all night and became discouraged. The whole camp, they said, nope, we aren't going to Canaan. Can't do it. Numbers 14, verse 10. The Israelites wanted to stone the positive guy, Joshua and Caleb. Verse 30 of chapter 14. Only Joshua and Caleb would come into the land. The other 10 who spread false rumors died in the plague, the Bible tells us. Let me change that to a contemporary setting. I read this someplace. I think this story makes a real point. A soldier stood at the end of the chow line and offered the people in the chow line apricots who passed through. The first 100 people that passed through, he asked, you don't want any apricot today, do you? 90% said no. The second 100 passed through, and he said, would you like some apricots? 50% said yes, and 50% said no. The next 100, would you like one serving of apricots or two servings? I hope this is true. 40% said one, and 50% said two servings. Train your mind to think positively. One of the things that I'm enjoying in my fourth score of life, plus some more years, is to take a power nap. Maybe some of you are into that too. A power nap is, for me, it's after I eat my dinner, which is noontime. It might be lunch for you. It happens at about 12:45. It lasts for 20 minutes. And when I wake up from my power nap, I've got a whole different perspective on life. I don't know what does that. I don't know why I wake up. I don't know why I have to go to sleep. I don't know. It always works. So let me take our sharing together this morning to a different level, to a power nap level. Philippians 4:13. I can do whatever I need to do in life through Christ. I can do whatever I need to do in life through Christ. What in your life do you need to begin to believe that you can do? What in your life do you need to believe that you can do? We are partners with God. We can't do his part, and I don't think he will do our part. We are partners with God. Don't speak out of your emotions because we... We feel, because how we feel doesn't always agree with God's word. As a person with faith in God, has your faith reached your thoughts and your words? The Bible says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do your words reflect your complete dependence on God? I hear around me, and I even do this. This is too hard for me. I just can't take this. I even heard this past week. I can't take any more trouble in my life. I'm going over the edge if there's one more thing. I feel like I'm losing my mind. Maybe instead we need to say, I have the mind of Christ. What does that look like? This trial that I'm going through is for my good. Wow. Do I have that attitude? Colossians 3:2, set your mind and keep it set. Sometimes we take back to the store what we got is it's the wrong size or we want to return it. I mean, it's not uncommon for me to go over to the hostlers and talk to Scott, and I don't use these words, but I would say, I mean to Scott, "Scott, can you trade me this flat tire for one that's not flat?" Sounds like a good deal, doesn't it? We need to think about that. Maybe sometimes we need to trade in our excuses or trade in our excuse bag. And the excuse could be, "I don't have time," or "God didn't gift me that way," or "I'm way too busy." God's unconditional love. If you want your behavior to improve, your knowledge of the unconditional love of God must be the foundation for the new you. No. Jesus didn't die so that we could be religious. He died so that we could have deep, intimate, personal relationship with God through him. If I would ask who you are, you would probably tell me, especially if you're a man, that you tell me about what you do in life. That's very common. So for men, and for probably for a lot of us, what we do is more important than who we are. We need to know in God's eyes, as in God's eyes, that God loves us, that we're created in his image, and that we're in right relationship with him through faith in Jesus. Second Corinthians 5:21, God put the wrong on Jesus, who never did anything wrong, so that we could be right with God. Another rut that we might get into. How many times in Scripture does it say, "Fear not"? "I will not live in fear." 365. Is that right?
Yep.
A lot. Yeah. People live in fear. We live in fear. The fear, we're afraid of losing our health, we're in the fear, or we're afraid of losing our job or our wealth, or somebody might scam us. We're afraid of losing loved ones. Fear always tells you what you're not, what you don't have, or what you can't do. So we have fear of pain, we have fear of discomfort, we have fear of losing friends. We have fear of being alone. We have fear of losing our reputation. We have fear that no one will understand me. If I have a fear of the fact that I might be getting a head cold or a health challenge, I'm quick to do things like I'll ramp up my consumption of vitamin C. Or I'll take, this is me, I'll be sure that what I'm eating is very suitable for the situation, which means no sweets, ice cream needs to go. I'll take a lot of zinc, I'll take a lot of other vitamins, D, that's my thing. Maybe we can use that in, as a man thinketh, when we're getting to the place where we're getting caught, we think, before it goes too far, "I will not live in fear." I think fear is the opposite of faith. And obviously the enemy is the author of fear. Another idea that I think we get from Scripture, Psalms 119, verse 65. "Great peace have they who love your law. Nothing shall offend them or make them stumble." Be a person that is difficult to offend. Be a person that is difficult to offend. It's so easy to be offended. So if I'm offended, that means that somebody is, I think, somebody is rude to me or insensitive to me or hurts my feelings. In our culture, in our communities, in our nation, there's a lot of rudeness, there's a lot of quick tempers. Road rage is alive and well. There's a lot of holding grudges. We hear expression of somebody being a sex offender. Matthew 24:10, many will be offended. Signs of the last days. Being offended keeps your thoughts or something that does not bear good fruit. Being offended will not change the person, but it does change you. It makes you bitter, revengeful. Believe the best about another. So often I think we get hurt by our own imaginations. We concoct things that aren't so. Sometimes if you're caught in the being offended act, you need to take a time out. You ever do that for yourself? You need to, why am I feeling this way? One of the questions I ask myself is it really this bad or I just think it's this bad? And usually I come out with a different ending in that. Trusting God. A power nap. Trusting God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't try to figure everything out on your own. Don't lean on your own understanding. Researchers found that 80% of all illness is connected to the wrong thought patterns. 87% of all illness is connected to wrong thought patterns. Whatever we focus on becomes bigger and bigger and bigger in our minds. Worrying will keep us from trusting God. How many problems have you solved by worrying? How much time have you spent worrying about things that had never really happened? Has anything gotten better because you worried about it? I think worrying represents walking in the flesh. Last weekend, my wife and I and our son, Sean, flew to Wichita, Kansas for a family memorial service. As I said before, I had a window seat in the plane. Whenever we left the runway, whether it was Harrisburg or Wichita or Chicago, they de-iced us. I thought this might be a lesson that I could conclude with. So the control tower told the pilot that he needs to step out of line and go to this spot where they, and I had a seat window so I could see exactly what was happening. In the snow or the rain, some guy got up on a man lift, which is on a truck, and he actually shot his, whatever he shot, into the window that I was looking out of. So this is the guy way up shooting spray, water, alcohol, antifreeze on our airplane. I was impressed. I wouldn't want that job. So when we were done, the next plane came in and he got de-iced. So I got to thinking about, isn't there a scripture that says that I'm protected from something because I'm washed or rinsed? And I found one in Titus 3:5. He saved us through the washing of rebirth. So my airplane experience had me look at some scriptures and give some deeper thought to what's happening than just what was happening. When we finally got to take off at Chicago Airport is like a city. I think I walked further in that place than I flew. Wow. Anyway, when we got to take off, the pilot says, passengers, fasten your seatbelts, we're going up to 35,000 feet, which I think that's higher than usually they fly. So I got to thinking about, what spiritual application is this? As I thought about that, I thought about, you know, when you're flying 35,000 feet compared to, by the way, that's over 6 miles high. When you're flying that high, you're closer to God. I thought, that makes sense. Throughout all this busy work in my mind, the pilot was saying that we need to stay in touch with the control tower. And I think that's good advice for us. We need to stay in touch with the control tower. God will help us through the storms in life. We need to watch be careful, re-examine some of the ruts that you're in 2024. And if those ruts are not good ruts, if they don't take you into a positive situation, why repeat that? Why go down that rut in 25? So thank you for thinking together with me about, as a man or a woman thinketh, so he is or she is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, which is a light for us and a lamp for us. Remove from our lives some of the, we call it stinking thinking. When we get into bad rut, Father, we pray that you might just take the steering wheel and help us to maneuver out of that bad situation. We pray all this in Jesus' name, who was the sinless and spotless Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Amen.